Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, a place where professionals come for insights and inspiration for success. Thanks for tuning in today. You have Brianna Larimer, Ray Lyon, and Dewey Thompson, all from Missouri Training Institute with you. And today, we are talking about meetings.
Oh. Yeah.
Just think about your week and how much of your time during a normal work week is spent in really oftentimes very unnecessary meetings.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But they don't have to be.
No, they don't.
That's the thing. It's like we have meetings and they're always the same because that's what we've always done. That's how we've always had them. Mm-hmm. And people just need to learn to have them better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying meetings aren't a good thing. They can be a very good thing. But sometimes I don't think people really have a good understanding of what they're going after in the meeting.
Right.
It's probably something they've just been meeting on a regular basis for a long time.
Yeah.
There's no agenda. You know, no decisions are made in those things. Lots of problems here with meetings.
And I certainly think that the virtual environment has made meetings a lot more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more frequent.
Yeah.
So I want to know from you all, why do meetings fail?
I think Dewey touched on it. One is people don't meet because they have a topic that needs a meeting. They meet because it's the first Monday of the month.
Yeah.
Right? And we always meet on the first Monday of the month. But they don't look at what they need to meet about. And so then it just flounders about and people waste time and they get off topic, or the topics they have to talk about aren't necessarily meant for a meeting. It's an info dump.
Right, right. And announcements.
Yeah.
That might be better on the written word, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Send that to me in an email, right? Mm-hmm. If it's just going to be an info dump. But don't call me into a meeting and then read me the agenda. I read that when you sent it to me.
If you sent it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that it is almost difficult sometimes for some folks to say, okay, I'm going to cancel a meeting, because it's like you need to save face or something. I got to have the meeting, even if there's nothing on the agenda.
Right.
I mean, at least I get that feeling.
Oh, I think you would save us so much more face if you just said, we really don't have any decisions to make with this meeting, so let's cancel it. I would love that.
Yes.
Right.
Actually.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get it. Sometimes there is a purpose to the meeting, because sometimes we do need time to interact with one another. Mm-hmm. We do need time to actually see each other's face, check in with each other's, you know, lives, make sure everybody's doing okay. And especially after a year that we've had, we do need that. We do need some interrelationship stuff. And that can be your purpose, mm-hmm. right? We're going to take 15 minutes, you know, a piece. So for us, right, we're going to take, you know, 45 minutes and we're just going to check in with each other, mm-hmm. just face to face. And everybody's going to get, you know, a high five for doing that. And then we're going to be done. That is our purpose. And so everybody knows that's what they're coming to the meeting for. But just to come because it's the first Monday of the month,
mm-hmm.
you're right. Let's adjourn, you know, mm-hmm. let's not convene a meeting.
Yeah. And I have so much more. I feel like there's a lot more credibility in exactly what you had said, Dewey, in being able to say, look, I have nothing on the meeting, or saying, hey, I'm not prepared for this meeting. And I think, you know, Ray, I think of ours, and sometimes I've had to tell you during our PTMs, you check in with me before and I'm like, hey, I'm not quite there yet. I don't want to waste your time. And that's part of the issue, I think, with meetings, is truly be respectful of other people's times and recognize when it's going to be a waste and when it's not.
Well, you know, you bring another interesting point up, and that is time is money, right?
Absolutely.
And that is a real problem when you think about the last meeting that, you know, if you can think about all the people that was in your last meeting and think about their salaries It's expensive to hold a meeting. Not only people's salaries, but if you have to rent a space, if you provide them with snacks or food, if it's going to be a really long meeting. I mean, the cost of a meeting can just go up and up and up and up if you're not careful. So is it worth the time? Mm-hmm. Is it worth the time and the cost associated with what you're hoping to get out of it?
Right. And is the meeting the best way to achieve what it is you're trying to achieve?
Absolutely.
So you've got to think about that as you plan. That's part of your preparation, right? Plan to have the meeting. The last thing I want to do in a meeting, and I know my teammates here have heard me say this before, the last thing I want to do and the last thing I want anybody in my meeting to do is read. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A meeting is not for reading. So if I have something, maybe an article that I want to share with my teammates or, you know, before we make a decision about something, if I can't get it to my teammates at least 2 to 3 days, because I don't want to throw it on them 20 minutes before the meeting. That's not fair. Mm-hmm. They've got other things to do. If I can't get it to them 2 to 3 days before the meeting so they have time to read it, then I probably either A, I want to excuse myself from that part of in the meeting, or if that's why I was convening the meeting, then I would cancel the meeting. Mm-hmm. But the last thing I want to do, just like Dewey said, I've got a lot of salary sitting around the table. The last thing I want to do is add one more hour to the meeting because they have to sit here and read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got to have my act together if I'm convening a meeting.
Right. So, Ray, give me some insights on when should you have a meeting and when you shouldn't necessarily have a meeting.
Well,
kind of situations.
Okay. I think a meeting is best when I need that type of collaborative approach, that it is best when all of us are together and we can kind of just mind meld, right? So I need to convene a meeting when we need all of our knowledge and creativity in the same place at the same time, right? I want to convene a meeting if a decision needs to be made. Right. And it needs to be collectively. We need to share the pros and cons. We need to make sure that all of the information is brought to the table. And Dewey might have information. Brianna might be able to shed light on that. And we need that type of discussion happening because a decision needs to be made. That's a definite time for a meeting. So creativity, knowledge, judgment, decision. Maybe I need to build commitment to something. So if there's going to be emotions and, you know, I'm pitching an idea, I don't want to do that in an email, right? Because people won't be able to see my passion or, you know, I won't be able to influence as easily if everybody's sitting in their own desks, right? So if I want to pitch an idea or build some kind of support, I'm going to convene a meeting. Other ways, if I need to speed things up, right? If I need a little bit of progress, a little bit of traction, I need to speed things along, I'm probably going to convene a meeting because everybody's going to have all the information all at once, all together, right? And I don't have to wait, Dewey's not going to read that email for 3 days, right? Brianna's going to read it. She's already going to make up her mind. And then we got to wait on Dewey, you know, those kinds of things. Right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, so that
I hear you. What you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
I know.
Self-awareness. We've already done a podcast on self-awareness, haven't we? Yeah.
You know, the truth's the truth. Hey, you know, those kinds of things. So if I need that collective mindset, right, and I need decisions and I need creativity and I need it to happen now, those are great times to convene a meeting.
Yeah. I also sometimes think meetings are appropriate when you want everybody to hear the same message. You know, you want that consistency in that messaging can sometimes be helpful.
Would it be appropriate to hold a meeting if you maybe have a team that is in a lull or, you know, kind of in the to kind of a pick me up, maybe doing a team building activity or something like that within a meeting? Would that be an appropriate reason for a meeting?
If that's your purpose.
Okay.
Then, yes, I think that would be appropriate. if it's not necessarily a purpose, it's more about just getting people together and, you know, hope that, you know, we learn a little bit about each other and maybe a little bit improve teamwork, then I question that. But if it's truly your purpose to do that and to really build teamwork and to talk about it and to come to some things that we can do to improve teamwork and actually leave that meeting with some actual action items, then I think that'd be a good use of time.
Communicate that purpose up front.
Yes.
I don't want to bring anybody to a meeting under false pretenses. Mm-hmm. This isn't a trick. This isn't, you know, an underhanded motive, whether I'm, you know, the leader of the organization or whether I'm just the facilitator of the meeting. You will know when you come to the meeting what this meeting is meant to do, and you will know what role you will play. And I think that's just fair, because you're wondering, you know, I've got a meeting at 11 o'clock. What's going to happen now? No, you will know what to bring to the meeting. You will know ahead of time what your part in the meeting is to be. To me, that's a well-run meeting. You know why you're there. And I don't want you to have some, you know, like, oh, another meeting. I never know what's going to happen at these meetings. I don't know why I'm going. You should know why you're going. If you don't, I would question why you were going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I, you know, why me? Why couldn't somebody go in my place? Why do I have to be going? Can I send, you know, a direct report to this meeting?
Yeah.
You know, if all of it is an info dump, I could send anybody.
So you're talking about you have an unclear definition of what you're wanting to accomplish in that meeting. Are there other situations when you wouldn't necessarily want to have a meeting?
Definitely, obviously, an unclear outcome. Certainly, if it's an info dump. Like I said, that's not, you know, if I just need to give information, everybody just needs to know about it, I definitely wouldn't. You know, if let's say we were having a meeting and Dewey couldn't come, you know, and if it was just Brianna and I talking, I probably wouldn't convene the meeting if we couldn't bring key in people. Or let's say our vice chancellor, you know, was going to be in on this meeting and last minute he decides, you know, he can't make it. We'd cancel. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, there wouldn't be a reason if a key person couldn't make it or a key decision maker couldn't attend. Or like you said, you know, if the cost, and that could be an actual cost, dollars flying out, you know, actually cost, or the cost in what we're hoping to achieve isn't as great as we thought. We're actually not going to get the benefit that we need, the return on the investment.
Yeah.
Or, of course, if I could achieve the same objective in a different fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I could do a doodle poll.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can you
do
know?
Other things. Yeah. I guess another thing that, as you were talking, Ray, is another thing that kind of popped into my head is stand-up meetings. You know, you bring a bunch of people into a room without any chairs, and you'll be amazed at how quickly that meeting will go. Because once people get set down, they get comfortable, they brought their coffee, you know, sometimes you can settle in for a long time. Just the simple fact that people are standing up and not sitting down, you'll be amazed, I think, at how quickly you can accomplish those things.
Yeah.
I'm curious about, you know, thinking about some of the times not to have a meeting. You know, what could be some consequences if you were to choose one of these times, you know, and are not to have a meeting category? What could be the personal, professional, relationship consequences of repeatedly maybe doing those and holding meetings when you probably really shouldn't be?
So we don't have good reasons to hold a meeting, but we hold them anyway.
Right. So I'm thinking of maybe a young professional who is new in their career or maybe within an organization and attempting to be proactive, but maybe holding meetings when it's unnecessary. What could be some consequences of doing so or repeatedly doing so to their credibility or to their influence with others?
Well, I think that, you know, if the meeting doesn't go well and you're not meeting the objective and you're just meeting for the sake of meeting, well, first of all, you do have that extra cost that we've been talking about. But I think also you do lose credibility as the person who is facilitating it or the one leading the meeting, because nothing's getting accomplished. And especially if that happens over and over and over again, just every month, because we meet at the same time every month, people, you know, they get turned off on that, right? I mean, Ray said it earlier, why would I want to come to a meeting that I know in the last six times that I've been to it, it's just the same meeting over and over and over again and nothing getting accomplished. So I do think it can really affect your credibility. It slows business down. You're not going to make key decisions when you need to get them made and get things out the door, right? So I think it can cause a lot of problems and maybe even some unforeseen ones that we just haven't identified here.
Yeah. And I would really want to talk to that young professional's supervisor, because why would that supervisor allow that to persist? Mm-hmm. To me, that would almost be like setting that professional up to fail. And I see that a lot when I work with managers, you know, strength-based leadership. And when I work with managers on helping their young people succeed, and oh, I'm going to put them in charge of a project. I see that so many times. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask them to lead a meeting. Everybody around the table is going to get their chance to lead a meeting because they need to be seen in those roles of leadership. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You know, what reason do they have mm-hmm. for that? You know, why would you just put them out there without setting them up with a little bit of success? You know, and especially if you talk about, you know, over and over and over, why would they allow that to persist? Mm. Because they're not really doing them a favor. And so put them in the right situations so that when they do go out there to lead that meeting, that it's the right time and the right people are there in order to achieve, like Dewey said, the desired outcome that we're really wanting. So from both perspectives, you know, the young professional needs to make sure they are achieving an outcome, but the young professional's supervisor or manager would never allow you to fail six times. Mm-hmm.
What would we need? So we've decided now that it's appropriate to have a meeting. What do we need to plan or prepare for in advance of that meeting? What are some things for preparation for meetings?
Well, a couple things from my perspective is you have to know exactly, like we've been talking about, what is a desired outcome? But secondly, how are you going to get there? I think oftentimes we go into a meeting where we have a chunk of time for a free-for-all kind of discussion. And nobody has really given it thought about, you know, how can you structure your time in such a way that leads people from where they're at to where the desired result is. We usually just have kind of a free-for-all discussion, but could we use other tools to help people along that discussion so that it kind of speeds that process up? So maybe you do things like a post-it note activity. It's what we call an affinity diagram. If you're trying to combine a lot of ideas together, you know, give everybody a whole pad of post-it notes. And you're doing some brainstorming, you ask your brainstorming question, and you have everybody write down their responses to that question on a post-it note, but put it one response per post-it note. And of course, you can do as many of them as you want. But once everybody's done writing them, they bring all those post-it notes together and they start to group them into like items. So, you know, instead of having a, 3 hour long marathon discussion to get to the same result, if you do a post-it note activity, something like that affinity diagram, you can get some results in which the team can start to respond to in a matter of what, 10, 15 minutes? And think about all that amount of time. So that's an example of a structure, you know, and there's lots of different tools out there. You know, lots of books on facilitation, lots of books on quality and continuous improvement. One of my favorite is what they call the memory jogger, which is nothing but these tools and these techniques that facilitators can use with a group of people that really move that meeting along at a much quicker pace, all aimed at trying to get to the outcome.
So let me ask you, with those different types of tools to move the meeting ahead, would you suggest letting your meeting attendees know that you'll be doing that in advance, or is it just kind of a spontaneous?
Oh, I think that we should probably get our attendees prepared for the meetings that we're talking about, and you do that through your agenda. You know, if this is a meeting that you've had with, you know, relatively the same people over and over again, and they know your facilitation style, they can probably expect that, right? Sure. If they don't, then I would probably let them know on the agenda that, yes, this part we're going to maybe do an affinity diagram. Another part, we might use a different tool, for example. But let's take brainstorming. You know, oftentimes we go into a meeting thinking, oh, we'll just do some brainstorming. And here's what that usually turns out to be, is that one person throws out an idea and then everybody starts to judge it immediately. Mm-hmm. Well, the purpose of brainstorming is about as getting as many ideas on the table first, then we can maybe think about going through and look at the pros and cons of each of those ideas. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it depends on who's in the room too, right?
Yes.
The person who speaks the most or speaks the loudest or the person with the most authority, it's their ideas we talk about, as opposed to, again, a real brainstorming, like a post-it note activity that I just described, that gets all the ideas out first. And then we can kind of respond to them. And the post-it note is another great way to get those ideas in an anonymous way. And that's what I find, is that oftentimes the quiet, shy ones in the room, they probably have some great ideas, but sometimes they just don't feel like verbally communicating those out to people. Whereas this gives everybody a chance to kind of level the playing field, to everybody's ideas gets up on the board.
And not just that. I mean, because I think you're talking about, you know, the difference between extroverts and introverts. But sometimes I also think people have different time frames in which they process questions. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's that the question actually goes out with the article or with the agenda. So you're sending the agenda 2 to 3 days ahead of time, which I encourage. You know, if you're sending it out, you know, hot off the press, grab it off the copier when you go to the meeting, you might not be fulfilling the true preparedness. So maybe you send the question then too, because I think people need time to process how they might respond. And also, you know, as a former school teacher, that way when they're reading the article, they can be looking at it through that lens. Mm. And so, you know, they're looking to pick up that as they're reading. And I think, so tools are really important. And I do love the memory jogger. I also think logistics. Mm. You know, how can the logistics of the room, if you have that as a way, but how can the logistics of the room support your agenda or your, you know, outcome, thinking about that? So you might even think about your room and, you know, what's going on there. You know, maybe you can be strategic with your roster of who needs to attend. Maybe, you know, a subject matter expert you bring in for just to help support your idea. They don't have to stay the whole time, but maybe they come in during the time that you're trying to get momentum for your project. Mm-hmm. So they can answer and field any questions. They're neutral, but, you know, maybe they can help you support your idea, or maybe you bring in another, you know, it's just things like that that can help you move forward your idea. And then, of course, you can frame your agenda. You know, we always talk kind of like do some warm-ups, you know, make the early part of your agenda easy, get people talking, build rapport, do your light work early on, wait to attack your big ticket item, you know, once people have kind of warmed up a little bit and they're communicating and they're, you know, operating at full capacity, you know, hit your big ticket item a little bit farther into your agenda. And then, of course, taper off. You know, you always want to kind of end almost like a bell curve, and then end and remind people what they're responsible for and when you're going to take action and when you're going to follow up and, you know, what might be the next step.
Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about that, Ray, when you talking about kind of getting people to warm up, I think about timing of meetings too. Like, are there specific times of days that meetings would be more appropriate? And does it depend on your audience?
Yes and yes.
That's the quick answer.
Of course, you know, when people are hungry, they're less focused. So unless you plan to bring food, I would not do it, you know, from the 11:30 to 1 o'clock hour. And even if you bring food, people are still more social and worried about eating, you know. So this idea of lunch meetings, I'm not a fan of them because I want to respect people's time to decompress while they're eating. I just think that's a way to respect them. It's like, you deserve a break. You know, go eat lunch. Go talk to your, you know, mates, and, you know, then come back refreshed. So typically, experts will tell you, you know, statistically, I guess, you know, have your meetings at a certain time in the morning up to 11 o'clock. And then you want to have them in early afternoon and stopping somewhere between 2:30 and 3.
Yeah. I mean, you just got a meeting notice not that long ago from somebody who is wanting to have a Friday afternoon meeting at what, 3:30 or 4 in the afternoon?
On a weekend before a long holiday. Cannot attend.
Yeah, cannot attend.
I think about, you know, the reason I ask that is I do, and I wonder from your all's perspective, is it appropriate if you have something that's going to be a long-term meeting, like you're going to have several meetings over the course of however many months, is it appropriate to try different times to make sure that you're getting that full engagement from those folks who may be better in the morning or better in the afternoon?
Well, you know, I don't know if I would really think about it as certain times. I think it really depends on the people involved, right? You know your audience probably better than anybody. Was looking around this table, the three of us, Ray and I are definitely morning people, right? And you, on the other hand, are not necessarily such a happy morning person. I think you need your coffee a little bit to get your engines revving up. I think you kind of prefer maybe more afternoon type of situations and meetings and things like that. Now, again, it's not to say that you don't come to meetings in the morning and you're productive, right?
Absolutely.
So I think it's really about kind of knowing your audience probably more so than anything, as well as the nature of the discussion, what you have to address. So I liked it when Ray talked about that bell-shaped curve and really looking at, you know, building up a few early wins in that meeting. Then that at the top of that bell, that's when you're going to spend the majority of your time on those really tougher issues and then trying to get to the outcome and lead people to a happy ending at your meeting, right?
Overall, then, I guess what other, as we kind of wrap things up here, what other tips or suggestions would you all have for preparing for meetings or when or when not to hold them?
I think that's the key. You know, I always approach it as never have a meeting. That's my approach. Never, ever have a meeting. And then if I have to have a meeting, I better have a darn good reason. It's not have a meeting and then, oh, now I don't need one. It's never have one. Oh, I have to have a meeting. I better have a really darn good reason. So I'm from the whole other end because as a school teacher, we had way too many meetings and we didn't need 3/4 of them.
Mm-hmm. I think you bring up a great point. And I think that too often we let the process become more important than the purpose.
Thank you. You've said that to me before, and I think that's a powerful statement.
Dewey, any other final thoughts?
I would just encourage people to think of the structure of their meetings.
Yeah.
Are there tools they can bring in to move the discussion along quicker? I would also pay attention to newly formed teams. They need a lot more structure in their meetings, or teams that they're having maybe some trust issues. You know, those are always going to take a lot longer than those meetings when you have a well-maintained, mature team that really knows how to get in and get things accomplished at a meeting. That meeting's going to look different. So knowing your audience and really structuring it according to the purpose of the meeting and the outcome that you're wanting to achieve, that would be my big advice to folks.
And post your objective.
Yes.
You know, when you get into your room, wherever you're having your meeting, or if you're in a virtual meeting, you know, put your objective, your outcome, your desired outcome on the board, so to speak, at the top of your agenda. This is what we're going to get out of today's meeting. And keep reminding people, this is it. This is it, people. This is where we're trying to get today. So you can stay on track.
I think you bring up a good point talking about the virtual environment a little bit. I think we focused a lot. I mean, a lot of the time obviously go apply to virtual too, but maybe in a next episode, sometime we can talk about specifically virtual meeting tips and maybe platforms.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we appreciate you tuning in today. Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, and
go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.